right, 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. All right, we're here with Scott Daly from filmfever.org. Don't forget, Don and Mike at noon, Likas at 3, World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7, Ground Zero tomorrow and Sunday, and 9 o'clock on Sunday, Ground Zero, News at Ground Zero, featuring our very own Aaron, Geek in the City. So, all right, I'll tell you what. Here's the number. It's 503-535-9100. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to answer the following question. What is it you see in a film trailer that tells you the movie's going to be awful? You're sitting there in the theater, the lights go down, and you know that thing, because there is a little mental division that people make, right? Because we all hate being, you know, we all hate being there imprisoned by some bad Mountain Dew commercial or whatever. But you do draw a mental distinction where a preview doesn't seem like when you're at home watching TV, a film trailer seems like an ad. But when you're in the theater and a film trailer comes up, it seems like a thing you're excited about. And I don't know what the difference is. Like, if a film trailer comes on while you're watching Scrubs or something, you're like, oh, damn it, you're skipping by. But in the theater, you're like, yeah, another trailer. Woo!
It's on the big screen. It's the surround sound, dark theater, and the whole film atmosphere. My answer to this question, two or three words. A film by Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Like,
that's it. Like the Amityville Horror.
Like the Amityville Horror. Yeah. So anyway, so the question is,
done.
When you're watching, when you're... Do it. Thank you. The question is, when you're watching a trailer, what in a film trailer tells you the movie's going to be awful? If you get on the air with that, we'll give you one of these lobby cards from filmfever.org.
You pick. I've got a whole bunch here.
They missed the mark.
Thank you.
When he made Pearl Harbor, I miss you more than that movie missed the point. And that's an awful lot, girl. And now you've gone away. And all I'm trying to say is Pearl Harbor sucked. And I miss you.
All right, 503-535-9100 to get on the air with an answer. We got a lobby card for you. And the lobby card, again, if you missed it, what these basically are is they're sort of smaller, very stylized versions of posters for upcoming films. These are actually from Japan, though, so they're very cool looking because they're Japanese versions of posters for American films, like this Freddy versus Jason one, which you cannot win because it's not mine. Thank you. I'm putting it right here. And that sucks for you. Here's why I'm bringing this up, by the way. So I'm sitting there. I went to see the new Woody Allen film, Melinda and Melinda, which is not bad, by the way. Compared to any other movie coming out of Hollywood, it's an 8. Compared to Woody Allen himself, it's a 6.5 or 7. Not a perfect film. Good film, though. And so I'm watching the trailers for it, and this movie comes on, and I don't want to give away all the terrible things in it at once. But I'm watching this trailer, and there are several other things in this trailer that are awful, and I will give more of them later. But I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, well, this movie's going to be awful. Yep, that looks terrible. Ooh, that's not any good either. Oh, that bodes poorly. And then at the end, I hear the worst four words you could possibly hear during a movie trailer. A David Duchovny film. And that's it, man. That's all you need to know. As soon as you hear the words, a David Duchovny film, you know that that's something. And in a way, it's a freeing sensation because it's 2 hours of your life that you can now give back, you can put back in the pile, right?
Well,
because you know you're not ever going to go watch that film. So it's 2 hours and $10 that is suddenly yours again.
I was invited to an early screening of this David Duchovny film called The House of D.
The House of D.
And the reason I was going to see the film early was because I was invited and all scheduled to go to Seattle to interview David Duchovny. A week before my interview,
right,
I got an email. The film has been canceled. The screening has been canceled. It will not be showing. It will not be screening nor opening in Portland.
Okay, so there you go.
So,
all right,
there you go. You're safe now.
It's 503-535-9100. A full time listener, Darren. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hello, Rick. Two things I'll know right away that it's a bad movie is if it contains either one of these phrases: romantic comedy,
right,
or starring Bill Paxton.
What do you got against Bill Paxton?
Now, can the movie have Bill Paxton in it, or is the starring Bill Paxton that throws you off?
Well, if it's got Bill Paxton in it, you know it's got great special effects, but the acting is horrible.
That is true. That is true. We call
kinda
it
like
the finger of God. I like Bill Paxton. I do, however, acknowledge that Bill Paxton, and we were just having this discussion like dorks at the Sin City screening about people that are good actors but who are not leading men.
Right.
For Adam Sandler, funny guy, charismatic guy, not a leading man in my opinion. Now, obviously he gets work. I'm saying to me, though, like Ben Affleck's the same way. good-looking guy, talented guy, pretty good actor, not a leading man, in my opinion. Same thing with Bill Pullman, same thing with Bill Paxton. Because all of Bill Paxton's great roles have been the sidekicky roles, like in Aliens, for example. But as soon as you make that guy the star in a film, i.e. Twister or Frailty, suddenly that movie goes into what we like to call the crapper.
I did see one movie with him that wasn't totally awful. It was the one with him and Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Set somewhere up in Minnesota.
The Sam Raimi film.
A Simple Plan.
Simple Plan.
Which is a great film.
That was
great
actually
film.
Pretty good
And
movie.
Bridget Fonda. That's a pretty good film, actually.
And I like Frailty, too.
The rule there.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Frailty fits in that category,
that's
too.
That's Darren.
Does he want a lobby card?
Yeah, sure. Kyle?
All over it.
You talk to that guy, and we'll figure out the...
I can give him choices.
Should we give them a choice, or should we just stick him with the one from... the Sound of Music? Do you have the Sound of Music? Oh, that's... And
right
it's
here,
Japanese,
my friend.
Too.
Just one.
A Japanese Sound of Music lobby card. Oh, we should totally give him that one.
All right, it's this. We got him.
Excellent. Rolf, you'll never be one of them.
I hate that movie.
I hate it.
My mother used to make me watch that music, every dude. Year around Easter, and I despise it.
Don't. Look, the Sound of Music is a fine film.
Awful.
Don't make me bust out the...
Don't do it.
Edelweiss. Edelweiss.
What is wrong with you?
I'm on drugs. Nate's a full-time listener. What's up?
Hey, I got four things that'll sum me up for a $6 box of dots.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Kevin Costner.
Fair enough.
Like, man, anything that guy's involved in. Two, Dabney Coleman.
No. On that, we have to part company. On this, we're on different banks of that
with
river.
With exception 9 to 5.
Okay.
That's just got Dolly Parton in it, who's
right.
Awesome. Save
okay.
the day.
All right.
From the people that brought you Thelma and Louise.
Dude, Ridley Scott is the master.
Let me just tell you this. Here's the problem with marrying a woman studies major. I went home 2 days ago, and the Thelma and Louise, like, widescreen special Criterion edition is playing on my... The volume is so loud, I can hear it when I get out of the car in my driveway, and I walk inside, and Lara's in full man-hating mode.
Was she taking notes?
No, she's in there like, damn stupid bastard, blow up his whole truck!
Keep her mouth shut, keep her mouth shut. Don't say anything to her, yeah. Just look down, get
totally.
Down.
Totally, exactly. Yeah.
You're not there, just go in your
All
study.
Right, what else?
The number one... Part 3.
Excellent. There you go. Congratulations.
Right,
there you go.
Nate,
that's Nate's.
What would Nate like?
He'd like Finding Nemo.
You should give him the Sound of Music one.
No, we've already,
that one's already
that
taken.
One away.
Got Finding Nemo. I've got The Rules of Attraction.
I think you'd like Finding Nemo.
Tomb Raider. He seems like a Tomb Raider kind of guy.
No, he's Finding Nemo all over him.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Finding Nemo.
All right,
there it is. Finding Nemo for you, my friend. All right. Let's see. Where are we going here? Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What can you see in a film trailer that tells you the movie's going to be bad?
Hudson Hawk 2. Based on a true story. Produced by, starring by, and directed by Kevin Costner.
Yeah, wow. Well, Kevin Costner really is the kiss of death right there.
That was it.
All right.
And also, Terminator 4, not starring... Arnold Schwarzenegger, not directed by James Cameron.
I think that's coming down the pike, my friend.
I think any Cameron sequel not involving Cameron is right on there. Yeah. All right, there you go. That's Jeff.
What does Jeff get?
I don't know, some crap. All right. What is that one right there?
This one here?
No, the one with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, this is Matchstick Men with Nicolas Cage and Sam Rockwell.
I have no idea what that is.
Did you see the one he gave me, Rick?
No.
It's all shiny bronze Brad Pitt.
From what movie?
From Troy.
Oh, I see.
How about Rules of Attraction? No.
I don't know. Well, let me see the pile then.
All right.
These are Japanese lobby cards, which are sort of like smaller, more stylish versions of a film poster. But they're Japanese. Oh, wait, here we go. The Horse Whisperer. No, Seabiscuit. I'm sorry.
Seabiscuit.
He seems like a Seabiscuit kind of guy. What else do we have? Let's see. We have Mystic River.
Mystic River's there.
We have that, what is that horrible Jim Carrey thing where he's God?
Yes, Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty, The Last Samurai.
And a whole stack of stuff people may not want, so.
Chronicles of Riddick. Some of these.
But then I have cool ones. I've got Return of the King and Kill Bill right here in my hands, too.
Some of these, I can't even tell what they are.
I know, it's tough.
Some of these are so obscure.
Jeff gets the day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's see, what do we have
here? Or Riddick.
See, now we've got, this is bizarre, because I'm looking at these, and we've got Japanese versions of posters for British films that I can. Here we go, Freaky Friday.
Ah,
there you go,
done and
Freaky
done.
Friday. All right, let's see. Where are we going here? Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
A combination of a coming of age story and the chubby Drew Barrymore giggling.
Now, do you have an example of this?
Like Boys on the Side or something like that.
Boys are driving cars with boys, riding cars with boys.
Yeah, or whatever that one was. Yeah, that kind of thing.
See, I'm kind of a sucker. Well, and I'm a sucker for coming of age movies. Coming of age movies.
But it's the chubby Drew Barrymore.
Now, see, I like the chubby Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I do. You know, even like Donnie Darko, where she was a little heavier than she is now. Drew Barrymore. Now, see, the weird thing about Drew Barrymore is to me that she's really beautiful, but I can't be sexually attracted to her because to me she's still. What's her name from E.T.? She's still Gertie and then Charlie from Firestarter.
Right.
I still, in my head, she's still like an 11-year-old girl, and so there's a whole lot of weirdness there. I'm not able to get with that. But but I believe that it's true for you, though. I'll take your word for it.
Yes. Hey, how about The Last Samurai, the American movie about Japan from Japan?
That's perfect. We got one for you.
All right, Bill, there you go. We'll hook you up with that lobby card here for The Last Samurai. We're talking about things you see in a trailer. Oh, and I might as well talk a little bit more about this David Duchovny film. So it's called House of Dean. No, but I'm watching the trailer, right? And it's got all the elements to be something I would watch. It's got the hard-bitten New Yorker who grows up in the tough section of, like, Hell's Kitchen or some crap, moves away, comes back as an adult, kind of like a Sleepers kind of thing. And I'm a sucker for those films. Guys going back to the old neighborhood, you know, that kind of stuff, like a Mystic River thing. I love that. But it's got Robin Williams in it. It's not only got Robin Williams, it's got Robin Williams as a wisecracking, retarded man who teaches David Duchovny some lessons about acceptance. It's got Erykah Badu as a poor but wise beyond her years black girl who is sassy and teaches David Duchovny about the power to stand up for himself. And then, of course, a David Duchovny film. So it is obviously a vanity project that he has written and or directed. And it's like with each unfolding layer of hell, you know. David Duchovny stars. Robin Williams. Robin Williams is a retarded man. Erykah Badu is the sassy, learned black woman, and then directed by David Duchovny. It's like he just took some sort of Mad Libs film cliche book. You know what I mean? All right. Next up, we got David. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. David, what in a film trailer lets you know the movie's going to be bad?
Okay, I have to set the stage for you here.
Okay.
All right, we have the slow motion picture of two people running up to each other in a park, and they hug each other, and he grabs her and spins around and whispers, "I love you," and then, of course, something tragic happens.
Oh, and then it goes, and then the screen goes, and it goes blank. And then it's like,
"We regret to inform you that your wife is dead."
You know, and he's a cop, and he's got to avenge the thing. Totally. Or the,
"It looks malignant."
Exactly.
It laid daggers in her brain.
And then I just automatically X that off.
Oh, yeah. You know.
No, it's true.
Into.
It's like, and that whole thing of, you're right, where they're spinning around, and, "I love you, let's stay together forever." That's like the whole, retiring in 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days till you get sent home. Yeah, here's a picture of my girl back home. I can't wait to get home next week safe and sound and see her and my new baby. What is that sound? And then a panzer, like, drives over his head. So, yeah, I'm with you. All right, there you go. That's David. Ray, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
When it starts off with, "In a world where only," you know it's going to stink.
In a world.
The inner world guy?
The inner world where only, fill in the blank. Yep, that's it.
Well, there's that whole thing, the inner, you know, and the inner world thing, like, you think everybody would sort of, it's like mullets. You think people would have gotten the memo by now that you can't do that anymore. But just the other day, I saw a trailer that was like, "In a world." And it's like, you can't. You have to stop. You can't do that anymore.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
Really, that's been exhausted.
And the old one was, "Oh, I think this robot has become intelligent."
Number five.
This is
alive.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Kill Bill
for
you.
There you go. All right. Oh, yeah, wait a second. We have to bust this out here.
All right, let's try this.
This is the voiceover for a comedian movie trailer.
Take one. In a world where laughter was king.
No in a world, Jack.
What do you mean, no in a world?
It's not that kind of movie.
Oh? Okay. In a land that...
No in a land either.
In a time...
No, I don't think so.
In a land before time...
It's about a comedian, Jack.
one man.
No.
When your life is no longer your own.
What does that mean?
When everything you know is wrong.
That's wrong.
In an outpost.
No.
On the edge of space.
The space.
A girl.
No.
Two girls.
No.
Now.
No.
More than ever.
Stop it.
A renegade cop.
I hate you.
A robot renegade cop.
You're fired.
You're fired.
No, you're actually fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of the booth, Jack.
No, I like it in here.
All right, we'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Want to call Rick? Call now at 503-535-9100. Or 1-877-535-9100. Now, back to the show.
All right, what's the latest on the Pope? Or should I just... Hold on. Let me flip a coin and then we'll find out if I'm right. Since he was dead and then he's alive again. Hold on. Heads, he's dead. Tails, he prevails. Okay, the coin says he's still alive.
Pontiff's breathing shallow, kidneys failing after heart problems. So there goes the heart, because Tim just said it was the heart and brain.
So that's sort of a TKO at this point. He's losing on points.
One down, one to go.
No, that's a terrible thing to say. That's Scott Daly who said that. We respect the Pope and wish him a long life.
He's had
that's
a long
not going to work, and
he's
it's not going to happen, but we wish it to him. Well, he's lived 84 years.
Well, your ticket's already been punched.
You know what?
You know what?
I'm a Catholic, so I can make jokes. I'm a Catholic. I can poke fun.
You can't play that card.
Of course I can.
I can make a joke.
Nobody hits my pontiff but me. All right. We're here with Scott Daly from filmfever.org. We'll do a couple more calls, then we'll talk about Sin City. Just a second. We're asking the magical question, what do you see in a film trailer that tells you the film's going to be bad? Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What do you got?
Good. When two guys are in a car and they look at each other and go, ah!
Oh, yeah, completely. And that lets you know the movie probably also has Cuba Gooding Jr. in it.
Right. Or maybe Ashton Kutcher.
Seriously. Perhaps. No, you're and it's always that, like, the pregnant pause right before they yell. You know, like they're both having the comedic realization at the same time.
Right, yeah. And then they drive into a volcano or something.
No, I'm with you. All right, that's Mike. We'll do two more here, and then we got to talk about Sin City. We'll get Sid in a second. Here's another Mike. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, this is a dead giveaway, Rick. This is probably the best one. Here it goes. Just when you thought it was safe.
Yeah.
And that one tells you that more than one movie sucks, because you know that the new movie sucks, and you know that whatever it's coming after sucks too. So it helps you kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. I'm with you. And somebody else noted that if A, it was filmed in Portland, Oregon, or B, if it's a movie that reunites two stars.
Yeah.
You know,
together again.
Together again for the first time. Yeah, all right, there you go. Let's do one more. We're talking about things you've seen in a trailer that lets you know a movie sucks. Sid, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
You go in the theater, it's dark. Up on the screen comes a big mug 40 feet across, and the announcer says, Barbara Streisand is back.
No. Yeah, that's good for me.
But
too.
One other one that maybe you don't agree with, you and Booby Master or whoever, would be based on the video game.
I don't think that's directed at you.
I hear
Scott.
You properly.
I don't think that's directed at you. I'm pretty sure that's directed at one of my Xbox. One of my Xbox comrades. Yeah,
those video game movies just don't quite turn out.
There's never been a good video game movie.
Go figure.
Ever.
The Wizard?
Well, that's not based on a video game, though.
But it's about video games.
Well, maybe, I suppose.
Well, that same logic, War Games would be in that group.
No, because, but War Games absolutely wouldn't count. Just like The Wizard doesn't really...
The Wizard
doesn't really count either, because The Wizard's about a road trip. It's a road trip film.
What about Resident Evil?
No, it's a terrible film.
No, it's not.
That's a terrible film.
One
what are you
and
talking
two.
About?
One and two.
Yes, they're both flawless.
I like them.
A sequel to a video game movie's got to be even better.
Yeah.
All right, no. Now, The Wizard counts only under the vaguest definition. So, no, I would not say. Because, I mean, you look at it. Super Mario Brothers. From my money. Well, like Doom. Freaking Doom, the movie's coming out with The Rock. That's going to be terrible. You can write that off right now. So, that's not going to be any good. Let's see. Let's see, people are sending me Pope jokes, which I'm not going to read, because don't laugh. We are trying to be respectful. Because I was we're not making fun.
It's very sad.
I'm not making fun of the Pope, but we are making fun of the fact that no one seems to be able to get it straight whether he's dead or alive.
Well, that's exactly what
I'm laughing at. That's the funny thing about it.
You know what happened is that it just leaked too early. Like, they still have to get a bunch of stuff done. You know he's dead, but they're still trying to figure everything else out before they get it out to the press.
Undoubtedly what he is that he's dead and...
They still need time to do all their stuff.
Absolutely. He's dead and they leaked it and then they wanted to be able to take it back, but they weren't able to. But then the word goes out, you know, to the news stations, like, look at this. Drudge is still reporting the Pope is dead. Now he's removed all other news stories from the entire page and replaced the original Pope picture with a poorly shopped one that removed the background from the image, poorly photoshopped. So Drudge is still insisting he's dead, apparently. So, all right. Now I've refreshed Drudge. Now Drudge has... The Vatican is now denying reports that the Pope has died.
That's exactly what I'm laughing at.
But the Italian press is saying his brain activity has stopped. But then Italy Sky Italia quotes the Vatican as saying his brain is still functioning. Maybe there's like a real Pope and a robo-Pope.
See, that's what I always think. There is a robo-Pope somewhere. The real Pope's been dead for months.
The body double is still there.
It's a lot like that whole... Oh, I hate to reference this movie. Dave. Remember with Kevin Kline?
It's
very
Ving Rhames is somewhere pushing
exactly.
The real Pope on a stretcher.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Sin City, which is the movie that everybody, I mean, it's got all the buzz. 2.5 pages in USA Today. Today about it.
Up in the A&E today about it.
Yeah, not a flawless movie. I got a couple small issues with it, but it's pretty damn close to flawless.
I would have to say it. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's nothing I can say about the film that you haven't already said, Rick, but it is absolutely fantastic, hands down, one of the best films of the year. In my review on filmfever.org, I wrote it saying the ugliest beautiful film you've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's stunning. Visually, it's a feast for the eyes, it's a feast for the emotions and the brain. The character development is so strong, and we were all talking about this on Tuesday night, how the film, each character has soul.
Each
character, you know their story. Even though you may spend 2 or 3 minutes with them, you know their story and you know it's not a good one.
And the comparison I made is that it looks kind of like Sky Captain meets Pulp Fiction, except as our friend Martine noted, Sky Captain is a very great-looking film, but it didn't have a lot of soul to it.
Exactly right.
Sky Captain was a lot of flash. There wasn't a lot of heart to it or substance. Sin City doesn't have that problem. I mean, it's unbelievably rich.
Mickey Rourke, it pulls off the role of his career.
Absolutely.
As does Elijah Wood, who I'll never, ever look at the same way again.
Elijah Wood will creep me up for the rest of my life.
And it messed with my dreams. That night, I had the most vivid, real dreams. Not about the film, just in general. It was very lifelike. It was insane.
Several people who went to that screening on Tuesday who said that they had really vivid, weird dreams about it that night.
Very strange.
Yeah.
And I encourage everybody to go see this film. This is, hands down, one of the best films of the year.
I am such a geek. I am already salivating for the DVD release.
Oh. I've been talking to Aaron a little bit about what's going to be on the DVD release. A lot of stuff that Rodriguez is putting on there. They're talking about a fan commentary on the film.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over this film. Frank Miller, I mean, God bless Robert Rodriguez, who did cut up his DGA card so he could work with Frank Miller, and Frank Miller could get credit on the film.
And they have three directors.
And Tarantino directed a scene. I'm not going to tell you what scene it was. That's for you to find out, but... It's just, I mean, Benicio del Toro and Bruce Willis and Jessica Alba, Clive Owen. I mean, the list is endless.
I will say that as far as Jessica Alba goes, I was all prepared not to like her because she's never been a really good actress in my opinion. She's beautiful and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, she really nailed it. And I mean, I know, and I will say, and I know that this just sounds like, horny fanboy. Whatever. But I do think it was a little bit of a mistake that they had her. Because didn't we hear that she wanted to be nude in the film? I think that's what we heard. And then,
I think there's some rumor that going around.
I think that was the thing, is that she offered to be nude in the film, and Rodriguez, I think, said no. I think that's the story that we heard. Which I think is too bad, because she plays a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this sounds like every stupid justification that every actress gives. But I really do think that scene and that character would have played a lot better. Sarah, didn't we hear that Jessica Alba wanted to be nude and they said no?
Yeah, that was one of the sound bites we had.
Again, and I know this just sounds like an idiotic, horny fanboy thing to say, but I really think it would have been a lot better if she had been, given what her character is and who her character becomes and everything. And obviously, it'd be great to see her nude. But I think it would have worked, especially because they have a lot of nudity elsewhere in the film and they're clearly not shying away from it.
Right.
I think for her, it would have been better. But I understand, I guess, if they didn't want her to do it. But
and since it is,
she's really good, though, man. Her character was fantastic.
Excellent, excellent. And just everybody, even Rucker Hauer is a small part in the film.
Yeah.
He's creepy as all get out. And Powers Booth, I mean, who doesn't love Powers Booth?
Powers Booth is great. He's
fantastic
in
this movie. It's just, I can't say enough how great this film
is. You get
was.
Your review up at filmfever.org?
A+, my friend.
All right, so there you go. So Sin City, it opens tonight. See you tonight for the first time
in a world.
In a world. One man, Scott Daly. You can read more from him at filmfever.org. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon from Max 910 here Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Alternative mornings with Sarah and Greg. Kyle, the intern on the phones, or Kyle, the call screener, or whatever. He's been with us for a year today. I didn't even get a chance to talk about it. Kyle, 1 year today. Congratulations.
Yay. Still not getting paid. Thank you.
Bada bing! Tim in the Max 910 newsroom. Don and Mike next. Like us at 3. We'll see you in 69 hours Monday at 9:02. Don't let the bastards run it down. See you then. Bye.